Aloha and good morning. Welcome to the Just for Today, Nor Other Way workshop of WCNA 31. My name is Mi Chan and I am an addict. Okay. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. And I've asked someone special to read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program.
My name is Dominic, an addict from Cebu, Philippines. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used, who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
And I have asked someone special to read why we are here.
Good morning, I'm Sharon, an addict. Why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
And someone special has been asked to read the Just for Today Daily Meditation for September 3rd.
Hello, my name is Beatrice. I come from Greece, and I'm an addict. Humility expressed by anonymity. Humility is a byproduct that allows us to grow and develop in an atmosphere of freedom and removes the fear of becoming known by our employers, families, or friends as addicts. Many of us may not have understood the idea that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. We wondered how this could be. What does anonymity have to do with our spiritual life? The answer is plenty. By guarding and cherishing our anonymity, we earn spiritual rewards beyond comprehension. There is great virtue in doing something nice for someone and not telling anyone about it. By the same token, resisting the impulse to proudly announce our membership in NA to the world, in effect asking everyone to acknowledge how wonderful we are, makes us value our recovery all the more. Recovery is a gift that we've received from a power greater than ourselves. Boasting about our recovery, as if it were our own doing, leads to prideful feelings and grandiosity. But keeping our anonymity leads to humility and feelings of gratitude. Recovery is its own reward. Public acclaim can't make it any more valuable than it already is. Just for today, recovery is its own reward. I don't need to have mine approved of publicly. I will maintain and cherish my anonymity.
And at this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Laura A. from New Jersey.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict called Laura. Kind of hoping there'd be more readings. Wow, this is great. First and foremost, I want to thank God and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous for allowing me the opportunity to be clean and be in Hawaii. I also want to thank the convention committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope at their convention. A couple months ago, a fellow addict said that they, you know, gave my name to someone on the committee. And after that, I pretty much forgot about it because I was like, yeah, okay. Like, and then I got a phone call from someone from World. They really didn't tell me what it was about. And I thought it was something. I'm the RDA for New Jersey of my region, so I thought it had something to do with that. So I was calling the guy back like a psycho. And, of course, you know, the voicemail's full. You can't leave a message. I'm like, what's going on? You know, something important. And then he asked me to speak. And I don't know. It was just such an honor to be standing up here. When they were reading the Just for Today reading, talking about anonymity and humility, it kind of just made me think of, like, when I first got here. And, like, when I got clean, I wanted to run all around and tell all my old friends about this wonderful program I found, and I'm clean, and look at me, and this and that, and this and that. And then, thank God I didn't do that, because I probably, you know, going back to old people placing things, probably get back to using and things like that. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I came into Narcotics Anonymous when I was 19, not by my choice, jails, institutions, you know, death, things like that. Not death, obviously, but, you know, I ended up in a jail and, you know, not by, you know, the choice of my own. I didn't surrender the first day. Like, that's not my story. I really didn't want to stay clean, but it wasn't until I was sitting in jail for a little while. Before I got to that point, my parents kicked me out of their house, nailed the window shut, pretty much told me that, like, they could no longer watch me kill myself. And I still thought that, like, you know, they were the ones to blame and, you know, how could you do this to me? And, you know, but I didn't come from a family that was, you know, from what I didn't think it was dysfunctional at the time. You know, we were told that we were loved, like, every day, kisses goodnight, you know, that whole thing. So coming from a family like that and then, you know, me ending up in jail was kind of like they really didn't know what the hell to do. But it just, I don't know, kind of goes to show that, like, you know, the addiction doesn't discriminate. I was a cheerleader in high school. I had good grades. I didn't start using until later on. And my disease took me down really quick, pretty much is my story. Like, I wasn't on the street, really. Like, I didn't use for 20 years. Like, and when I first got here, it was hard for me to believe that I was as good an addict as everybody else. I really didn't think that, you know... I didn't think I was, you know. I compared, someone would share that was their story, they were on the street, they were eating out of garbage cans, and I couldn't get it. And after a while, you know, they tell you to get a sponsor. I got a sponsor. I got a book. And it wasn't until I read the first step where it says, doesn't matter what or how much you used, it's what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. And it wasn't until that point where I was like, okay, you know, maybe I could be a little bit. I had a little bit of willingness. But it was really hard for me, especially being young, like, no, this wasn't happening. Thank God I was in jail, went to treatment, went to a halfway house, that whole thing. I got kicked out of the halfway house, like a week before I was supposed to be done. They accused me of, like, having this crazy affair with this, like, older gentleman, and it so wasn't true, but they still didn't believe me. They told me I was an addict and, like, you know, you're a liar. And they sent me on my way. But I ended up at my first meeting. I went to a meeting that night because she said, make sure you don't use over this, like, very snobby. And pretty much, I think, like, at the beginning, I used that as, like, a motivation. Because when I was in rehab, there were older people that would come up to me, you're only 19, how much could you really have used? You're not a real addict, and this and that, and you don't know what it's like. And I believed that for, you know, a little bit. Like, I didn't think that my pain was good enough. I didn't think that my story was good enough. So at the beginning, like, you know, you have to make things up, make things sound better, you know. And, like, realistically, like, my story is my story. How I got here is how I got here. And if you don't think your story is good enough, well, you know, it is. Like, there is no special story in the book that says this is what you have to go through in order to be a member here. And I really thought that, like, it was. And it wasn't. So I showed up at my first meeting, and pretty much I was kind of just... When it talks about Just for Today, No Other Way, like at the beginning, like that's really all I was doing. Like there was no way that I could even see, like some days it was just, you know, minute by minute, second by second, like meeting by meeting. So my first meeting, I got there late, of course. I raised my hand, told them I was new. And thank God, women in the meeting came up to me, hugged me, and said, welcome, like here are my numbers, please call. So, of course, I called the next day when they told me they wouldn't be home so I can leave a message. And because I was really scared, like, picking up the phone and calling someone, like, for help, like, no. Like, even today, like, sometimes, like, I have a hard time, talk about humility, like, humbling myself and, like, you know, I'm wrong, like, you know, I need help. Like, it's really hard, even with, like, you know, 12 steps in my life and even with, you know, principles and all that good stuff. Like, on some days, like, Just for Today, like, on some days, it is hard to ask for help. It is hard to tell people, okay, this is what I'm going through. I'm hurting. Things like that. Like, it's hard. So it was really hard for me to pick up the phone and call. And I called. I left messages. Hi, you know. Nothing about anonymity. I met you at the meeting last night, and you told me to call you. And so here it is. Here's my number. Call me back. And there are some people that didn't call me back. That's okay. But, you know, the ones that did, like, really, like, were important, like, in my early recovery. There was a woman. She's actually at the convention. I don't think I see her here. She ended up living, like, around the corner for me. And it worked out. I didn't have a license. And she pretty much was, like, took me under her wing, you know. My parents let me back in their house. She picked me up to take me to, like, my first, like, official meeting on time, I guess you could say. And she pulled up, and my dad works for Pepsi, so he went running outside, like, with the sodas, because he's all nosy to see, like, who's in the car, what do they look like, who's picking up my kid. And, you know, he's like, do you drink Pepsi or Coke? And she's like... And she's kind of just sitting there, like, what is going on? You thirsty? I have some soda. I work for Pepsi. You better not have any Coke in the car. Like, you know, bust him. I'm so humiliated. Because here I am, like, you know, I have no idea he's doing this. I look outside. I see my dad at the car. Like, what the hell are you doing? And I don't know. It was a big laugh. But, oh, God, gratitude. You know, now I look back. And, like, he was scared. Like, you know, the years of pretty much torture that I put him and my mom through. And they let me back in their house. And when I say, like, I'm going out with someone, you know, from the meetings, like, for me to think that they were to believe me is, like, totally insane. And that took a lot for me, you know. They gave me the curfew, and if you're going to live in this house, you're going to live by our rules. And I'm like, yeah, right. And, yeah, no, I was home when they told me to be home. And so getting to the sponsor, I got the sponsor, I got the book, and, you know, she told me I had to write, and I thought she was crazy, and, you know, and it wasn't until, you know, I got to the steps and that I really started to see some change. I heard someone say that, you know, just being abstinent, like, doesn't cut it. Like, if I was going to come in here and, like, not change and be the same person that I was, I don't think I would have stayed. I don't think if I did the work that I did that I would still be here today. Standing up here, actually, I definitely wouldn't be. I hope I wouldn't be. But I don't know, getting back to just for today, like, one of the suggestions that, you know, the woman that picked me up, you know, told me to get a commitment. So, after my first meeting, it was a Tuesday night meeting. It was a big meeting in our area. You know, the GSR commitment was open at that point. I had 6 months clean. I'm like, hey, let me jump into a GSR commitment. And, you know, I thought the commitments were only for 3 months, and, you know, that was it. And they were saying that this whole area service thing is only once a month. So I'm like, oh, this is great. I only have to go 3 times, and then I'm done. So I took the commitment, and looking back, like, I had no idea. Like, I think I was out of treatment for, like, a week, and I'm at this meeting taking this commitment, and the group members are like, oh, yeah, let's vote her in. This is great. You know, wave and clean time. Let's go. And looking back now, I'm like, what the hell were these people thinking? But it was really good for me, because especially at the beginning when I struggled and it was hard and, you know, every day was like, okay, like, I can't, you know, call them today because I have, you know, I have to show up for my commitment tonight. And wow, there's people that just keep coming in. It's making me crazy. I'm like, where are all these people coming from? It's 9 a.m. Go back to bed. But okay, I'm back. So on days where I wanted to give up and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to do this anymore. It was just, you know, I thought it was just too hard. That I didn't want to go into that meeting, or I thought, that, like, okay, if I, like, screwed up, I'd have to go into the meeting and tell everybody I screwed up. I can't, you know, take the commitment anymore. You know, thinking that if I use, that's really where I would be. So, like, that's what kept me going. You know, I have a commitment. I have to show up, you know. I have to get the stupid literature on Sunday. I have to go vote on the stupid motions. And I really believed that, like, you know, things couldn't function if I wasn't, like, doing the commitment. And talk about self-centered. You know, the meeting will fall apart. But, I mean, thank God for that commitment. Thank God for that group that I guess was so desperate to have a GSR that they voted in someone they really didn't know. And but it was okay. You know, I did the commitment. Like, and thank God, ever since then, I've been into that. You know, I've been into service, had a commitment, and, you know, that keeps me going. Like, if you don't have a commitment, like, I strongly suggest that you get one. Because, you know, on any given day, like, I can get, you know, the ethics. I'm trying not to curse. I feel like this is, like, a whole different, you know, level, trying to keep the trash talk outside. So, like, you know, just for today, it's like any day. You know, I could really just want to throw my hands up. And, like, this morning, I was, like, tossing and turning all night, like, trying to think of the good stuff to say and, you know, trying to, you know, take stuff from other meetings and, like, how the heck am I going to fill all this time? And someone told me yesterday, like, what you're going to say is what you're going to say, and then that's it. And I was thinking that on the way here, like, okay, it's going to be okay. Like, I was walking, left the hotel 3 blocks away at, like, 7:45, thinking I was going to be late, all nervous. But it was good. You know, I had time, a lot of time, to sit here by myself, drink my coffee, get more nervous, like, looking at the room, like, oh, my God. And but it's a beautiful thing. You know, I've been through a lot in my recovery, especially at the beginning. There are so many different people that I've had in my life, in and out of my life. And there are some people that are still clean and some that aren't. And I don't want to say I don't associate, because that's not really the right word. But we've just grown, I guess you can say, two different ways. Like things that I went after and things that I wanted aren't things that they wanted, and we just weren't. Like when I first got here, I was into more like go to the meetings, having fun, and, you know, doing that whole thing and kind of just like messing around. And when I wasn't into messing around anymore, I mean, I still have fun, but I was more into, you know, the books and the step work and the things like that. Like the people that, I guess you'd say, were in my little group changed, because I wanted to hang out with the people that were into the books and into the steps and into the, you know. So, I don't know. My recovery really took me on a path. I think I had less than a year clean, and I decided to, like, you know, go back to school. And, you know, I'm thinking, let me just jump in there, take the 5 classes, haven't gone to school in, like, 4 years. Let me, you know, dive right in. And thank God for just for today and just for the minute, because there'd be times where I would feel like it was too much. It was too much, you know, meetings, school 5 days a week, working full time, you know, I'm superwoman, I can do everything, this is really what I thought. And the whole balance thing was just thrown off. There'd be times where I would bring my books to meetings and sit in the back and, you know, do my homework and do the math stuff and trying to do everything. And I stuck it through, and like, you know, every day was a new day. And every day it was either easier or it was harder, or a new challenge would come in front. And, you know, in May, I, you know, got my master's degree. And, yay! And I really don't say that for the applause. I say it because, like, you know, there was a meeting yesterday, the message is hope, and there's hope. Like, you know, if you're thinking about going back to school, or you're thinking about, like, doing something and you're not really sure if you can do it, like, that's how I was thinking. I was thinking I wasn't good enough, you know, I'm stupid, like, you know, what is an addict going to do in school? And, you know, and I stuck it through, and, like, thank God I did, because, like, when I was done, it was just like, oh, so much time on my hands now, what am I going to do? And there was a long time where my meetings did suffer, where I did feel like I wasn't connected. And thank God for my network and people that I talk to on a regular basis, because, you know, they reminded me, like, okay, where have you been? I only saw you at the Tuesday night meeting. What's going on? And, like, I needed that. I needed to, you know, get my butt back in gear. Just so many miracles have gone on. Like, when I was using, there's 5 siblings in my family. And we're all, I can say now, we're all pretty close. But when I was using, my older sister would constantly tell me, you know, I hate you, you know, I hope you die, and I want you to get out of here. And she has issues. I'm not really going to get into that. It's not about her, it's about me. And, she got married 2 years ago, and she asked me to be maid of honor at her wedding. And my niece is going to be 1 next week, September 11th. She's so cute. And she asked me to be, you know, my niece's godmother. And these are just other gifts that I've been given since, you know, being here. And it's all because, you know, when I first got here, I remember I would take the just for today to the extreme. And the whole being an addict thing, if I would act out, I'd be like, ooh, it's my disease. And I didn't do it, the disease did it. And that was before I had a 6th and 7th step. I didn't do it, the disease made me do it. It's talking. It's too powerful. And so I would kind of take the just for today thing kind of to that extreme. Like, oh, can't plan ahead, just for today. Can't do anything, just for today. No, can't make plans, just for today, just for right now. And I think that's just so funny. And I know some other people did it too, like, stop it. But thank God for just for today. Because, like, sometimes, like, I can't handle, like, more than just right now. Like, sometimes I'm just like, okay, like, I'm here right now, and, like, this is what's going on. This is my life right now. And, like, whatever happens later happens later. But for right now, I'm standing up here, like, looking around, like, wow, this room is really big, and there's a lot of people sitting in it. But that's okay. I like the reading this morning. It talks about anonymity. And I was telling some people before on the plane right here, of course, the plane was full of addicts. Most of the plane was filled with addicts. And it talks about anonymities are, you know, spiritual, you know, things like that. And people come on the plane, and they're in the house, like screaming, hollering. And she's got, like, the Bud Light book bag, and I'm just like... And me and the addict I was with are sitting with our heads down like, oh, my God, are you serious? And it kind of got me thinking a lot, being involved with service and talking about, like, our public image and things like that, like what kind of message is that sending? And I have been, you know, taking responsibility, I guess, for myself in that, like, do they see us how we see us thing? And, I don't know, like, over the weekend, I've been really thinking, like, okay, like, obviously, you know, there's a lot of us that are here this week, and I was just, like, kind of looking around, like, you know, I got the badge on, like, okay, like, how am I acting? Am I, like, cursing really loud? Do I have, like, the NA t-shirt on, like, you know, screaming, kicking people, throwing stuff on the ground? And, like, I'm not going to go around and, you know, I'm Narcotics Anonymous, you know, here I am, and not out there anyway, and here, addicts, great, but, like out there, like, depending on, like, you know, my attitudes and my behaviors, I really need to look at that, and, member of my family, I saw him at a picnic one time. It was actually, I think, 4th of July. And he's got, like, the slew of NA key tags down there. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know he was in recovery. Like, getting all ready to go up and talk to him and be like, hey, I remember. Yeah, yeah, he's drinking a beer. And my mom is like, Laura, I thought you weren't allowed to drink if you were an NA. And I'm like, yeah, you're not. Like, I don't know what that whole thing is. Alcohol's a drug, buddy. So needless to say, I turned around and, you know, walked away, and I was hoping to catch him and kind of, like, get him on the side and, you know, give him the good, like, what's up with the key tags and the beer. But at that point, you know, getting him alone, he was already trashed, and probably wouldn't have been a good idea. But I don't know. Like, I like my anonymity. Like, I don't want to tell everybody that I work with, like, hi, I'm an addict, and this is what I used to do, and blah, blah, blah. And some people do, and if that's for you, then that's for you. Because I'm kind of thinking, like, God forbid I ever do anything. And they kind of, oh, well, she's one of those addicts people that goes to NA. And, you know, I cherish my anonymity. Like, I don't want everybody in it. I mean, it talks about, you know, I can share here freely, like, with family. But, like, when I go to work and stuff, it's like a totally different ballgame. Like, I bring my spiritual principles and things that I practice there, but on any given day, I can, you know, not be the most spiritual person at my job. And I wouldn't want Narcotics Anonymous to suffer for that. I don't know. I'm kind of winding down. So thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity. Thank you for being here and waking up at 9 in the morning. And coming to the Just for Today meeting, because really, I really didn't think anyone was going to be here. And I was kind of hoping that nobody would be here. But I'm Laura, and I'm an addict from New Jersey. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Okay. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Uzi L. from Israel.
My name is Uzi and I'm an addict. I'm very excited and I'm very grateful to be here.
And I would like to thank first all the people to doing service all over the world, and especially in this convention. In Israel, when you say, I'm this and this and I'm an addict, we don't say hi, we say we love you. So I love you all. And thank you all that you are here for me. Thank you. I'll tell you something about my name. My name, Uzi. Everybody know what is Uzi. It's the machine gun, right? But in Hebrew, you spell my name different. And in Hebrew, my name means Oz. It comes from the word Oz. It's called power. And Uzi, Uzi is my power. And when I look at you, I just can see my power. Because all my power and all the energy that I've got today, I've got from you, from all the meetings all over the world. And I thank God for it. Otherwise, I don't know where I can be today. You know? I decided to start my story 8.5 years ago from a point that led me to my bottom. Maybe that was the bottom, I don't know. I have a daughter, she's 29 years today, and I have two grandsons, and the third one will be born in October. But 8.5 years ago, I was in jail. I was very isolated, I'm not allowed to speak with anyone. And I have only one. Anyway, I didn't speak to anyone unless I want something from him. But I have only one thing that I can speak to is was the telephone. Also, my family, nobody likes to speak with me. My daughter, she used to answer me technically answers, you know, yes, no, okay, yes, no, okay. And I was begging her to come to visit me on Saturday. Saturday is the way that they can come to visit you. I was begging, I was crying. And she told me, no, I'm not going to come. She was a soldier in the Israeli army. All the week she was in the army. And she told me, look, Saturday I have one day off. I didn't do something wrong that I have to be in my day off to come to visit you in jail. It's few hours drive and they have to search you and to see you stoned. I don't like it. I'm not going to come. And she told me, what kind of father are you? You are two things, junkie and jail. That's it. And I was mad about her when she told me that, because I was thinking that I'm the best father in the world. I used to give her presents, I used to buy her cars, new car, to give her money, to give her clothes, everything. You know, I go out, yeah, like I'm a... I don't know who, go to the show, buy what you want, take a credit card, take money and this. And I thought I was the best father. Because probably this is the way that my father behaved to me when I was young. But this is what I knew. One month later maybe, I was invited to the parole. In Israel, the parole, they bring you to a judge and some committee, and you have to bring with you a claim. After jail, if you give me the parole, I'm going to treatment center, I have a place to live, I have a job, you have to give everything with papers, signed papers and all these things. But the judge that was sitting on that parole committee was so bad, all the people hate him because he doesn't use to give parole to nobody. Never mind what plane you bring. And I wasn't care about the parole. I went to that committee because I have to meet someone from other jail that should bring me something to use. You know, in jails. And that guy didn't come. So they called me to the judge. I look at him and I told him, listen, I tell you the truth. I don't care about the parole. Give me something to use now on this table. Take the parole. I don't need it. And he looked at me and he told me, hey, you're a junkie. That's the judge. All the prisoners in Israel hate him. That time. You're a junkie. You need to go to treatment center. I look at him. It's true, you know. All the social workers, the intelligent officer jump. No, no, no. He's like this, he's like this. He told all of them, you be quiet. This guy should go to treatment center. On your next vacation, go and bring me a paper that you go to treatment center and I give you the parole. I told them, but they don't give me go out from jail. I'm a few years here. They don't let me go out to any invitation. So he made a decision that they must let me 48 hours vacation. And then if I bring this paper that I go to treatment center, I will go. It's something that's called door to door, from the door of the jail to the door of the treatment center. And that's it. So I took my vacation. I went to some treatment center in Israel. That time was a treatment center. If you pay money, they give you what you want, you know. No treatment, nothing inside. But they give you for money, they give you, yes, you, this guy is going to be here, he pay, blah, 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 blah. And after, I don't remember, it was in the beginning of May, 1997, I went out from jail. I have to go door to door, but I told myself, now I'm free, I have to make some small vacation. And the day after, I was arrested in the door of the jail. I came from outside to one of my gang. He's supposed to go to vacation, you know, come to visit him, to treat him, to give him drugs and all this shit. And they arrested me less than 48 hours since they released me. And I did some days. And I don't know, I'm telling this story because I cannot understand it and I cannot explain it until today, what happened to me. Because I think that my higher power choose for me the best way to come to recovery. This is why I'm telling you this. Anyway, I went a few days to the jail and they released me by mistake. Yeah, the day that I should go to court to go back to jail, there was some mistake, they didn't pick me up, and suddenly the policeman said to me, bye-bye, you are free. I went home. I take another 2-3 days vacation and then I go to the treatment center. I came there. You know, first day I was so stoned, I went to sleep. I woke up the day after. I don't know why, I couldn't stay there. I couldn't stand that place. So I ran away. Back to Tel Aviv, back to all the familiar things that I knew. I use. And suddenly I tell myself, what you are doing? If you're not going to be there, you're going back to jail for many years. I went back to that place. They didn't want to let me in. I'm making a strike. I was sitting in the next to the building. I was sitting outside. And every 3-4 hours, the secretary, she was a clean addict. She died. She died 2 years ago. She died clean. She was one of my best friends also from the past. She used to call me to the office, give me something cold to drink, you know, to wash my face. It was summer, very hot. And she gave me a note. She told me, Uzi, this place is not for you. There is a very good place for you. Take the telephone number. And she wrote me on a note, and I put it in my pocket. The day after, they signed me on a contract that I must be, blah, 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 blah. Okay, go in. I went in. The day after, it was Friday morning, I wake up and I ran away again. I came to Tel Aviv, and I start shooting drugs, you know, blah, 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 and suddenly, I didn't want to live anymore. And I went to my mother's house, I go inside, I lock myself in some room, in a room, and I try to kill myself. I was serious that time because I take a lot of babbling, you know, I don't shoot a lot of babbling air, you know, and I don't know how to shoot. And I fall down and I wake up after maybe 2-3 hours and I put my hand in the pocket. I saw this telephone number. It was Friday afternoon. So I called that guy. He knows me from the past. I called him and I told him, look, I want to get clean. I want to come to you, to your place. He told me, okay, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, you are here. And I've been there on Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. It was the 25th of May, 1997. And I cleaned since then. Thank you. The first 2 months that I was there, I didn't want to get clean. I just want to act like a clean, for the authority, for the parole, not go back to jail. You know, if you are in Israel, if you are in a process of recovery, they don't let you into jail. They give you all the chances that you want. And I say, I'm a nice guy, blue eyes, you know. I know how to smile, I know to, as most of us, all of us, I know how to make a very, very good manipulations. But after 2 months that I was there, something happened to me. I was reading the literature, and then they gave us some question to answer. And we were reading step one, and who is an addict, and things like that. And one day, I was sitting in the trees, reading who is an addict, and suddenly something happened to me. I realized that it's me, you know. It's not a story, because it's not difficult to understand our literature. The difficulty is to accept it on yourself, you know what I mean. And suddenly I realized, wow, it was me, it's me. And I decided, I don't care what happened. I don't care, go to jail, not go to jail. I don't care everything. I want to try to be clean. I was 42 years that time. I want to give myself a chance. And I went out to the building, and the guy that I called him, he was the manager of the treatment center. He was a clean addict. I was sitting in the side. I was looking at his eyes all the time. So I saw the serene. I saw the look at his eyes, and I felt jealous about him. And I wanted to come and ask him, please help me. I want to be like you. It was so difficult. You can't imagine. I was sitting, stand up, go back. It took me maybe 1 hour. And then I went to him, and I asked him, very simply, I told him, Igal, please help me, I want to be like you. He said, no problem. And he gave me a hug. And nothing bad happened, you know, I was so afraid, because my ego all these years, I thought I know everything, I am the most clever, the most tallest, the most everything, I don't make the list. And I start to feeling relaxing inside, you know. I start to feel it. And I stayed there 3.5 months. And I was lucky. In the end of those 3.5 months, there was the European Convention in Israel. It was 1997. And they let us go there only on the last day to the party. But a few days later, I finished my time in that treatment center, and I went back to Tel Aviv. Along, me and my friend from the treatment center, we have no place to go. I have the key of my mother's house, but she was in, I don't know where, she wasn't in Israel. We went inside the house, full of fear. We didn't know what to do. We just knew where is the NA meeting. And we went that night to a meeting, and I met some people that stay in Israel from the European Convention. They stay in Israel, and I got friendly with them. And I start talk with people, and it was summer in Israel, so we did go every day at 11 o'clock. We have a meeting on the beach, and start reading step one, step two, this tradition, this story, how we do recover, am I an addict, all this chapter on the book. We read some chapter, we go to swim. We read another chapter, we go to swim. All the day like this. We went to a meeting. Most of the meeting in Israel are at 8 o'clock p.m. We went to a meeting, and then after the meeting, we would go to this house, that house. Start all the time dealing with the program. Nothing else was interesting. And they told us, take a sponsor. Okay? I make a list of three people that I would like to them to be my sponsor. I put them, this is going to be the first, the second, and the third. It is so difficult to come the first time to ask someone to be your sponsor. But I did it. I did it. And he said, immediately said, wow, I'm so grateful to you. Okay, I'll be a sponsor. And it continued this situation with the beach. We used to call it the office. We meet in the office at 11 o'clock. Everybody knew it's the beach. And after 4 or 5 months, My sponsor told me, you know, next year, in 1998, there was going to be a European convention in Manchester, in England. I told him, how can I be in Manchester? I have no money to buy cigarettes. So he told me, maybe you'll start work and save money. I took his advice, you know. I start work. I start doing service at NA. Like you said before. I start do service. I try the best of my ability to learn and to practice the 12 traditions. You know, not only the steps, because the steps help me not to kill myself, and the tradition help us not to kill one another. You know what I mean? And I start work. I start to practice the steps in my life. Easy, you know, easy. I wasn't in a hurry to no place. I rent an apartment. And I went to that convention in 1998. Since then, I go every year to the European Convention and a lot of other conventions, you know, wherever I can, whenever I can afford it. This is on my first priority, to go to convention, to European Convention. It's my first priority every year. And I've been a few times in Los Angeles through my service position. But when I was clean, 18 months, my daughter sent me a letter. And she wrote me in that letter, you know, in the past, you were nothing for me. Today, I see that you are the best father that I can ever have. Because you love me, you support me, you're with me when I need you. Not because of all the money. You know, she didn't like the money. I don't care about the money anymore. I spoke with her this morning. I told her that I'm going to share this meeting, and she understands, you know, she's not an addict, she's got her own life, but she understands the program, she understands the steps, she knows what I'm talking about. We are very, very good friends today. And, I'm stuck. Blackout. Blank. 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 Thank you. I want to tell you one thing. I'm so happy, I'm so grateful. Yesterday, day before yesterday, I think, or it was yesterday, we were sitting some friends on the beach, and we said about, everybody's afraid to relapse, right? But why? And I told them, I'm afraid to relapse because I'm afraid to lose my friends. You know? I know that if something bad will happen to me, people will come, try to 12-step me, and all these things. But I have so many friends all over the world, I can't imagine it, you know. Sometimes I think I'm in a dream. You know what I mean? I'm in a dream. I don't believe. People come here, hey, who's he? Hey, blah, blah, here, all over the world. It's unbelievable what I'm... And I come from a small country, like, you know, in our convention, the main meeting is like this, more or less. You can imagine. And I'm so grateful to you that you are in my life. I shared a few weeks ago in Israel, and I said something like this, that if you have the best new car, okay, she's very clean, the best stereo inside, everything, if you don't put gas inside, it won't drive. And the same is my recovery. You are the power of my energy. You are the energy of mine. You are my energy. If I don't go to meeting, I'll be empty. And I like it. I like to go to meeting. Until today, I do at least 3-4 meetings a week. 3 meetings a week, actually, because I do service, I have my sponsor, I have my sponsees. But the disease go with me all the time. And I have to be aware of it. You know, in Israel we work the steps some in a different way. We have a regular meeting with my sponsees every Wednesday and with my step group meeting every Monday. So So every Wednesday, I woke up in the morning. First thing that jumped to my mind is why to cancel the meeting in the evening. This is the first thing that comes to me. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe. You know? Maybe I have something important to do. Maybe. All the time I'm looking for... I'm not acting on this, but my head is work like this, you know? It's, for example, like if I see a wallet here, fall down, the first thinking is to take it. You know? I'm not acting on this, but my mind is still work like this because I'm an addict. And my addiction is going out on the way that I react of things that happened. You know what I mean? And I have to remember it all the time. And if I must go to meetings, I must do service. I must, it's for myself, you know. Because when I start change, people, today I'm in Tel Aviv, we are talking about anonymity today, and just for today, I didn't have anonymity, never in my life. Because everybody knew about me, except myself. Everybody knew, all my family, all the family of my family, all the... Everybody, the places that I used to live, the children of my daughter's school, because all the time there was in the newspaper about me, they catch me, the police come to look after me, everybody knew. And I was thinking, I'm innocent, you know. I was doing nothing. What they want from me? I did nothing, especially that many times I came out from jail, it's not guilty, you know, they just arrest me and release me later. So I said, I am a victim. I'm a victim of the system. It was very difficult, for me to identify for myself as an addict at the beginning. Today I'm proud of it, because the way of life that I'm living here with you, that you helped me to live, it's a wonderful way of life. You know, I shared with a friend a little bit earlier in the morning, I should start the treatment of hepatitis C next after I come back from here to Israel. And I shared with my friend that I'm lucky. Why I'm lucky? First, because all of the friends, they did it before for me. You know? And second, because usually I like to laugh. Not too much, but I like to laugh. People know me. I have a good sense of humor, you know. I take the life easily, not too much serious, you know. No, wow, what I did, what happened, I take my recovery in serious, but not life, I don't take it too much serious. And I'm glad for the people, and I'm grateful for all these people that did this for me, you know. I didn't start this treatment unless my other friends did it, and I saw, and I was with them to do the treatment, and I saw what happened to them. You know, most of them are okay today. Most of them are okay today. And the same is for you, the guys that show me the way to NA, to Narcotics Anonymous, that were here before me. You know, Narcotics Anonymous in Israel started 21 years ago. We just celebrated last July, 21 years ago in Israel. And it started from one girl that went to visit in the United States, saw the program and brought it to Israel. And I can imagine it today, you know, 21 years ago, she used to call people every night at 7:30, please come to a meeting, you know. And they used to call me from time to time. And I used to go there from time to time because I knew all the people, you know. I knew all the people, I used to use with them. And I used to come to the meeting, look at them and tell them, you are sick. I'm not like you. I'm different. And they told me that time, if you feel different, you are in the right place. I didn't understand it, you know. That time I didn't understand it. Because I tried to get... In Israel, we have two or three big treatment centers that you go there for 1 year. It's on the government support, you know. And I tried to rent one of them many, many years ago. And they make me a questionnaire, you know, and few social workers sit in front of me, ask me so many questions. And in the end, they told me, maybe it was right that time. I don't blame them. They told me, you are sociopath, antisocialist, and recidivist. You understand me? You never be clean. You go take methadone. Maybe it was right that time, you know? But I take it as an excuse for me. For the other few years that I was using drugs all the time. And I was trying to killing myself. Try. I was in Greece a few years ago in a convention. And, you know, sometimes people say, I heard people share that they choose the way of life, they choose a new way. I don't think I choose it. I think that God, as I understand him or her, never mind, he's choosing for me the way. Because by myself, I couldn't do nothing, you know, until today. Even the small things, the smallest things, I cannot do by myself. And I'm happy. Last year, every year, I take some sentence from the book, and I go with it all the year with this sentence. And the last year, I took from the Just for Today, living and enjoying life. You know what I mean? Because we can live and enjoying life. When I'm looking for something to excite me, I go to meeting. Every time, every meeting that I go, I always hear something new. Maybe one line, maybe one sentence. But if I keep an open mindness, always find something. This is nice thing to me. I don't want any more. It's enough for me, you know. Because as we say, Just for Today, what I want? I wake up in the morning, I pray to my higher power, please help me not to use today. Tomorrow I'll deal with tomorrow. Never mind. It doesn't say that just for today I cannot make plans. It doesn't say that just for today I cannot think about things that I'm going to be in the future. But just for today I want to be clean today. I don't care about tomorrow. I have plans for tomorrow, I have plans for the day after, I have so many plans. I need a few hours just to tell you about them. But but it's not so important. What is important that that I make the plans, but the results are not in my hand. Yesterday, I told my friend a joke. I try to finish with this joke, and I hope you understand me. In Israel, we have the holy wall. You know what I mean? And people go put notes with wishes there. So one guy, he goes 20 years every morning to that wall and puts a note, God, please help me to win the lottery. 20 years, day, summer, winter, war in Israel, a lot of wars, you know. Every day, after 20 years, the angel comes to God and tell him, look, that guy, every year come here, put a note. Why don't you let him win the lottery? So God answered him and told him, he don't buy the ticket. You know? Thank you very much. I love you. Bye bye.
Okay, let's thank Laura and Iz for speaking. Okay, and someone has been asked to read just for today.
Aloha. I'm an addict named Steve from Indianapolis. Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery. living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I'll try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Okay, can we make a circle around the room and close the meeting with a third step prayer?
Oh, thank you.
Walking on.